You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there. Breaking news, well, reported breaking news, not yet confirmed, but the Browns have reportedly, according to numerous sources, heck, even the NFL has tweeted it out, 27-year-old linebacker Jamie Collins of the New England Patriots. Collins was a second-round pick back in 2013 in his fourth NFL season out of Southern Miss. He is a guy who was a Pro Bowler last year, second-team All-Pro last year, led the Patriots in tackles each of the last two seasons. The word out of New England is that they did not think they could get him signed to a long-term deal. He is a free agent at the end of the year. The Browns, as we know, have a lot of money, and that franchise tag should be able to work out something with Jamie Collins, but a guy who has been a phenomenal player. And how's he doing so far this year? Well, if you look at Pro Football Focus by position, he is currently amongst all linebackers, 4-3 and 3-4. He is considered the fifth-ranked linebacker by Pro Football Focus this year in terms of their grades, behind only Bobby Wagner, Zach Brown, Luke Kuechly, and Dante Hightower. This guy is a major player, was their leading tackler in their Super Bowl win, and the Browns reportedly gave up a compensatory third-round pick. So when you look at this, basically, that's the pick they got from Alex Mack. So you could look at, as Alex Mack left, and they were able to bring in Jamie Collins. You also could look at the two deals that they've done with the New England Patriots this year, which I think is a better perspective. The Browns traded Barkevious Mingo and a third-round pick, a compensatory third-round pick, which means it's after all of the third round. So it's basically after pick 96. Correct. For Jamie Collins and a fifth-round pick. So basically, you just went down basically a round, and maybe two rounds. Let's call it two rounds. Yeah, go from 70 players to go from Barkevious Mingo to Jamie Collins.
The fifth from the Patriots is not a compensatory, correct?
I don't believe that it is, no. It is not. As far to my knowledge, it is
so
not.
So that would mean we'd hold the Patriots' fifth-round pick, which is, you know.
Right, which is a low
gonna
fifth.
Be, probably going to
so
be the end.
So basically, we'll
yeah.
call it two rounds. Basically, for two rounds,
correct.
You go to get
so 65
and get Jamie
players.
Collins. Yeah,
I like it.
And if they have to overpay him, I don't think it matters at all. They've got plenty of money. This is an opportunity to get a guy that could be an impact player for a long, long time. Again, and he's one of the best cover linebackers. I just talked to my buddy who represents a lot of players on the Patriots defense, and they're stunned. And one of the guys who signed a massive deal with the Patriots said that he thought that Jamie Collins was their best defensive player. The Patriots do this. They trade Richard Seymour. Now, granted, he had been in the league 8 years at that time for a first-round pick. They trade Jamie Collins here. They trade Chandler Jones last offseason.
Yeah.
They're not
we
afraid
let Darrell
to give away
You let Darrell Revis come in.
For a year.
For a year. Rent him, won a Super Bowl, and then let him go. They didn't want to pay him the money.
So I think this is obviously a good thing for the Cleveland Browns. You clearly need help on the defensive side of the ball. If you watch that third quarter, three drives, they give up 243 yards of offense and three touchdowns. They need help there. This guy is a playmaking linebacker. He can get to the quarterback. He can play inside or outside. He's great in coverage, forces fumbles. One of the premier, considered to be one of the premier linebackers in the NFL, and people close to those negotiations saying that the Patriots realized they just could not afford him. And now the Browns have an opportunity and took advantage of that. And I like this. You've acquired all those picks, and that's what everybody's saying. You can't play football with draft picks. Well, the Browns have gone out and turned one of those compensatory picks into a bona fide player. And to help shed some light on this deal and give kind of a national reaction to it, we bring in now CBS Sports NFL insider Jason LaCanfora. Laca, what's up, brother?
What's going on, man?
Well, listen, it's been a rough season, to say the least, for the Cleveland Browns sitting here at 0-8. But today, this certainly seems like a little bit of a ray of sunshine as they turn a third-round compensatory pick into Pro Bowl linebacker Jamie Collins. What can you tell us about how this deal came to be?
Well, I mean, I think if you go back and start kind of looking at what the Patriots have been up to the last 7 to 10 days, they traded for linebacker Van Noy
yep.
from Detroit, what, about a week ago? I feel
yep.
like that was early last week. And obviously, Jamie Collins, they've got Collins, who was coming up. They had Chandler Jones, who was coming up, who they traded in a trade that did not work out for them because they've already cut the offensive lineman they got.
Who's now on the Cleveland Browns.
From, yes. From you beat me to the punch.
yeah.
And And then you had Hightower, who's up as well, who's having a heck of a year. So Collins wasn't going to be in the cards for them long term. Not that they couldn't afford to. Bob Kraft has plenty of money, but you guys know how they operate there. You know, right guy at the right price. So he was going to be gone. I just assumed they would let somebody sign him for mega bucks in the offseason and go take that 2018 comp pick and just let this play out as it was. So, yeah, I'm surprised. You start talking to some evaluators now, and they're like, well, maybe, you know, his play had slipped a little bit, and maybe Belichick's sending a message to the team about, you know, a lack of not handling or not having or not accepting any complacency. You know, everything's roses for them, right? So this kind of is a shock to the system a little bit. Everybody starts looking around and makes guys a little bit uncomfortable where it seems like, you know, each week they just go out there and eviscerate somebody on their way to a Super Bowl title. You know, it's Belichick being contrarian, which he likes to do, and, you know, which, frankly, he's had some success doing. Not all of his bold moves work out, for sure. You know, they've got this kid Rodgers, a sixth-round pick who they felt like was going to play more. We'll see. Jamie Collins is a pretty darn good football player. I mean, there's no denying that. And, I watch his games with Coach Cower every weekend, and that's one of the players he often gets most excited about watching on defense. I mean, for years now, he's been talking about Jamie Collins just sitting in the green room. And did you see that play? Did you see that play? Look at that athleticism and look at those instincts. And obviously, you know, the Browns need all the help they can get on defense. Third-round pick with all the picks that they've made last year and all the picks they'll continue to acquire. For them, I'm sure they didn't have to think twice about this. And, you know, now you got to get them signed long-term, which there's plenty of cap space there and should be plenty of money. So there's no way you make this trade without quickly giving this guy a huge payday that's going to keep him there for the long term. You don't want to have to franchise him. You don't want to have to go down that road and create any acrimony.
The Patriots often considered the model organization, and why not? Look at their success. It speaks for itself. But if you're a Browns fan and you're looking at – the Browns have made two deals with the Patriots this year. And if you were to kind of sum those deals together, here's what the Browns and the Patriots have done. The Browns have traded Barkevious Mingo and a compensatory third-round pick, so a late third, to the Patriots for Jamie Collins and a fifth-round pick. So basically moving down two rounds in a future draft, and you turn Barkevious Mingo into Jamie Collins. That has to be a win, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Look, the logic is there. Now you got to get him signed long-term, and you got to get a sound defense put together there, and you got to start winning some football games.
Yes.
But it would certainly point towards adding you've added a potential impact player there. You know, for what the Patriots are asking Mingo to do, he's actually grading out pretty good. But he was not, his days in Cleveland were over. He wasn't going to be an every down guy there. He's not an every down guy with the Patriots either. As we stand here now, there's no way to knock what they're doing in terms of that move. I mean, we'll see what else. They're also in a position now, too, where you spin this forward. And if, obviously it is all about picks. Well, you can get more than that third round pick back if you trade your left tackle. You know what I mean? So and if you're able to dump Joe Hayden's contract on somebody, I don't think that possibility truly exists. I don't know anybody who would assume that. But if you were able to do that as well, now I would have to think that's their dream scenario where you turn Hayden's money into basically Collins' money.
Sure.
Right? You get these picks back plus higher picks than what you gave out. And you think you're getting younger, cheaper, and better all at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I've heard, just again, reports now that the trade has been made that Jamie Collins and his agent were asking for Von Miller type of money, and that's obviously not in the cards for the Patriots. But do you see that as a viability in the cards for the Cleveland Browns to spend that kind of money, as they've never really have done that either?
You better. Jamie Collins is all
he's good.
He's
not that good
right now. I think you better. I mean, I don't know how you're going to let him lose. He's got to be. I mean, look, on the one hand, he went from the best team in the league to a team that hasn't won yet. But from a fiscal standpoint, from a setting yourself up for life standpoint, I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where that doesn't happen and happen quickly. If I'm him, I want it. I want it yesterday, obviously. But Von Miller or not, he's gonna get close to it. I mean, he's got all the leverage in the world right here. The Browns could. I mean, I don't even want to think about it. If they made this trade, you know what I mean? And somehow he walks, or they franchise him, and then he walks in a year. I mean, I can't imagine that happening.
By the way, Tony Grossi reporting that the best Pats get for Jamie Collins is a Browns third-round comp pick. If they aren't awarded a third-round pick, the Pats get their Browns regular fourth-round pick in 2017. So for them, they accelerate a pick 1 year up.
Right.
And Collins is very talented, and now he is on the move to the Cleveland Browns. You talked about maybe some other deals happening at the trade deadline. What are you hearing, whether it be Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden? Because Hugh Jackson came out and definitively said the Browns will not trade Joe Thomas, but you always know that a certain offer can change that. What do you think about, you know, potential trades from the Browns, or just what are you hearing about any other potential deals around the league with the deadline in 2 days?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard too much more than what was going on into the weekend, which was there was a couple of teams looking to add a receiver, the Eagles and the Bucks in particular. They were reaching out to teams like the 49ers and like the Bears to see what it would take to get a Torrey Smith or an Alshon Jeffrey. And obviously, if it's an Alshon Jeffrey, teams would be inclined to have the Bears eat some of that salary to move him, or to have Jeffrey maybe work with somebody on an extension. You don't want to have to give up a lot for a guy who's about to become, about to hit the open market off the franchise tag. There's teams looking for pass rushers. I just don't know where they are or who they are. You know, a month ago I would have said Cam Wake, even though he just re-signed with Miami, would have been dealt. And then you see the AFC. I mean, Miami has a good week. They win back-to-back games. And they're right there. There's no way they're trading Cam Wake. I mean, they're looking at the Bills starting to collapse again. They're looking at the Jets, who struggled to beat you guys, and they're saying, and look, they struggled to beat you guys as well, obviously. But so I don't know. The problem is, even with this thing being at week 8, the aggressive GMs I talk to who really want to make moves would rather see it at week 10. Because with this parity, one extra game, two extra games,
yeah, better idea of where
really
you stand.
Figure out the buyers from the sellers.
Absolutely. Talking with Jason Lotkin for us, CBS Sports NFL Insider, about the Browns trade today. Jason, when you look at, obviously, this team and where it is right now, a lot of people thought that the Browns were going to do a fire sale. How surprising is it to you that they actually use one of their picks to acquire an asset who has an opportunity to be a big part of this defense for a long time, especially given the way Christian Kirksey's playing? Maybe you have a couple good linebackers now.
I mean, look, no, this trade makes all the sense in the world for where they are, because you're talking about what is Jamie Collins, 25 years old? I mean, you're talking about a young guy still on his first contract, who should have a long prime ahead of him. If they had traded a third-round pick for a 32-year-old, then I would have been like, okay,
that wouldn't have made any sense.
You know what
sure.
I mean? I would have just been like, I forget about it. I think it's very much within the idea of acquiring young assets, and obviously the cheapest are guys who haven't been drafted yet, and you already know exactly what their price point's going to be for the next, 5 years or so. In terms of a fire sale, I mean, you just look at the roster, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard, like, who are the tradable commodities? Like,
Hayden and Thomas, I think that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe, look, I mean, Tremont Williams, I don't know if they want to. I mean, you have a hard time. Once you get beyond those two, you have a hard time making the case for why it would make sense for another team, why it would make sense for the Browns to deal them. So, yeah, and look, to me, the Hayden, because of the contract, is, that would have to be one where if the Browns were willing to do sort of what the Eagles did with Sam Bradford, which was, okay, we just gave this guy $6.5 million, but we're going to trade him anyway because the chance to get that first and the four, we're basically going to say the money doesn't matter, you can't take it with you. And Lord knows, the Browns haven't been huge spenders lately, and they have plenty of cap space. Look, if you really want to trade Joe Hayden, you assume some of that contract, and all of a sudden
sure. You
create a market. But unless you aggressively market him as a guy where, we're willing to eat X percentage of this deal over this year or over the next couple years in order to save what we can save, what the 49ers should have done with Kaepernick, right? Denver's, they're sitting there talking to Denver, and Denver's like, well, if you guys eat $4 or $5 million, we'll make the trade. And the 49ers are like, no way. Well, now they got him for the full 12.5.
Right.
How's that going?
Right. And Jason, when you talk about Joe Hayden, who are some of the contenders right now through 8 weeks that may be in the market for a corner like Joe Hayden to make that push towards the end of the season?
The problem, too, is that he hasn't played all that well in the health.
Right, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? And the other thing, too, is we wouldn't talk as much about the contract if he was playing like the guy, who was playing right around when he signed the contract. Then people aren't thinking it's a bad contract. But he's a couple years older. He's a couple years more beat up. And, boy, I just think it would be a tough sell, And it's just depending on the style of play. I mean, you could go get Alteron Verner if you're looking for a zone guy, you know, who's a little smaller, but maybe healthier. And I think Tampa would eat some money to move that contract, at least the impression I've gotten from teams who've talked to them. I mean, that's the only other corner. And then also, Tampa's also trying to move Jonathan Banks. So if you want a corner and you want a younger, cheaper guy with, you know, less of a financial commitment, then maybe you just say, I'll take my chances with that rather than wade into this, you know, mega contract with Joe Haden.
Jason, let me ask you, the Browns, you know, they have struggled, and it's been a multi-year struggle for this organization and this team. This year, 0-8, though, that is, you know, as bad as we've seen here. What's kind of the sense around the league? Because a lot of people look at this roster and said, you know, wasn't ready to compete, so
right. They're
down. They played six quarterbacks. They've had some bad injury luck. But is there a sense that people think that this is a better coach team than it has been in years past, or that they can see a difference, or is it around the league? Is it just more same old Browns?
It's kind of tough because they're scheming it up. They're having to get a different quarterback ready to play each week. They're keeping it competitive, so they're not getting blown out. But the flip side of it is they've also had some big leads, you know what I mean, and can't hold them. I mean, Baltimore, you had them basically, you could have delivered the knockout punch in the second quarter probably, you know. The Jets, you seem to have them left for dead at halftime. I mean, Miami, I mean, if the guy makes a field goal, you win. So it's kind of this, like, cruel dichotomy of, you know, it seems like they're, I mean, look, they're certainly playing hard. They're certainly playing energetic football. They're certainly finding a way to show up every week when the odds are stacked against them. But defensively, which, and obviously this trade speaks to it, I mean, that's, for as much as I think they're trying to scheme it up and coach it up and make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what on offense a lot of weeks,
yeah,
it's just being undermined by the inability to hold some of these leads. So,
sure.
You know, it's hard for me to say there's, like, one stamp on it. I mean, are they as bad as 0-8? Maybe not, but then you talk to some people and say, well, just look how bad this league is.
Right.
Like, so it's not like you're going 0-8 in a year where your division's good or the AFC is a behemoth.
No, and you've played the Jets really, and the Raiders.
This division is the worst
Ravens.
I've seen it. Yeah, I mean, the division is the worst I've seen. Go look at the AFC North's record outside the division. It's atrocious. Baltimore is not good. Cincinnati is not good. Pittsburgh can be very good, but also it can play down to the level of competition with anybody. So this would have been the time, you know what I mean? That's where you feel for Browns fans, because it's like you're looking at this division, and it's been a long time since sort of the big three were all sort of in a downward spiral, to some degree at least.
No, I think you're
Pittsburgh
exactly
hasn't
right.
won a playoff game in how long, you know what I mean? Baltimore's clearly down. Cincinnati's window may literally be closing, and I think this is probably the end for Marvin Lewis in this era of Bengals football, and the Browns are 0-8.
It is, yes. Those are the facts, my friend. And I have a question based on what you said, not holding leads, because it's now, I believe, the fourth time the Browns have had a lead in the second half this year, and they still sit at 0-8. And if you go back to 2013, that season when Ray Horton's first go-around as a defense coordinator here, that was part of the problem at the end of the year. Chicago, Jacksonville, I think New England on three consecutive weeks, they blew late leads that ultimately cost them. They finished that season 4-12, and I think went a long way to costing Rob Chudzinski his job at that time. Is Ray Horton, you know, is he on the hot seat? Have you heard anything to that nature?
I think, look, if you stay on this track where you're not winning any football games, or I mean, look, it would be for them to win two games now would be a pretty significant. If they win two games in the second half, that's obviously markedly better than the first half. I mean, I don't think they're going to go 500. You know what I mean? So you got to start looking. So they're not winning four. You know, you kind of start doing the math for where they are going to finish. There's going to be a lot of people under review. I mean, I can't look. If I'm wrong and they go 4-4 down the stretch, then now you're feeling great about going into the offseason, and you feel like maybe you're turning the corner and you stack one more draft there, but I can't. At 0-8, you know what I mean? It's hard for me to project that. So
yeah.
If they stay on the trajectory they're on, I would assume there is going to be some changes. I mean, you know, I don't know who all it would include. I don't know if it's front office and coaching, but I would think that there would be some very difficult conversations at the end of the year as to, you know, how much of this plan we need to tweak.
Absolutely. Jason, appreciate the time. Obviously, the big shocking news in the NFL today, the Browns get Jamie Collins, a Pro Bowl linebacker from the Patriots. Jason Lockenfor from CBS, our guest here, breaking it all down. All right, brother, hopefully I'll see you soon, man.
Look forward to it, brother. Have a good one.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
All right. When we come back, we will open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We will go ahead and take your phone calls, get your reaction to this reported trade. Also, we'll talk about the Jets game. We got to dive into that. Here's what's coming up on today's show. At 1:30, Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will call us, talk about the trade, and recap the games yesterday. We've got some sound from the game. 2:30, of course, Hugh Jackson's Monday presser. So a lot to get to here in this one, and we want to get your reactions. It's a newsworthy day here in Berea as the Browns have acquired Pro Bowl linebacker Jamie Collins from the New England Patriots. We'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm. Folks, Zenith, industry leader in football protective technology, is a proud partner of the Cleveland Browns Helmets Program in association with the Ohio Lottery and University Hospitals. Zenith protects athletes with revolutionary innovation. Learn more at zenith.com. That's X-E-N-I-T-H.com. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm here. CBD 216-578-0850 is the phone number, 216-578-0850. We've heard reaction there from Jason Lockenfora. A lot of people from around the league calling this a huge win for the Browns. Shocked at what's happening with the Patriots trading a guy that good. Our guy Dane Brugler, this is what he said. This is a stunner. He said, huge deal for a bad defense. The Browns' perspective, if they don't re-sign Collins, they can tag him. And 1.5 seasons of Collins plus the future compensation pick is definitely worth a late third or a fourth. He's a Pro Bowler, which is greater than potential and helps them get time. And finally, he said, somebody asked, I thought the Browns were all about collecting picks. And Brugler said they have been and are, but exactly for this type of move, have the flexibility to do something like this without hurting themselves on draft day. And it is nice, certainly, to bring a real player in who can help this team and help it immediately, because we've seen now the last 2 weeks the Browns be gashed on the ground. This week it was Matt Forte and Bilal Powell, along with quarterback rush for over 170 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Browns.
I just want to throw this out there, and I know this, as you just said, it's been a bad defense, and you have an asset like this that you can immediately add to it, but it takes a player like this being available for you to facilitate a deal to happen and fix something. Could you see that if conversations are happening between now and, what is it, tomorrow at 4 p.m.? Tomorrow at some point?
The deadline is November the 2nd at 4 p.m., yep.
Okay, so in the next couple of days, could you see us facilitating another? Again, we have the assets via the draft, and we believe, it, without a fire sale happening, to acquire more picks, could you see us acquiring veterans? I don't say veterans, but players that fit our analytics, and we become a comp instead of going out next free agency period and having to compete with everyone else, that we acquire them, get them in-house, and sign and get deals done now, as opposed to having to fight for free agents next year while also adding double-digit draft picks. Could that be a part of the mentality, and this maybe be the first of the next couple, or it's just a deal that had to get done for the player with what the Patriots were asking for?
I think it was a deal that's been in the works, because I think Jason Lockenfora made a good point. I also think that I saw on Twitter, Gil Brandt made the same point. He believes the Van Noy deal was a deal that was done. Once they got that done, they knew they could then move Collins, because their contract negotiations with Collins were not going well. We'll talk with Albert Breer about that. He will join us now at 2 o'clock as well on this very newsworthy day, and he should have some insight onto that. A man who covered the Patriots for 12 years, and he knows how they do business, and I'm sure we'll have some insights into what's going on. Let's go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. But Matt, to answer your question, I would be surprised if there is another, maybe one more move like this, but I think for the most part they want to build through the draft, because what you're doing is you are going to be, in essence, paying for somebody else's production with another team. And I don't know that you want to make that a habit. You're getting Collins, which is good, but you're going to pay Collins for what he's done for New England.
Correct.
And what
not
you hope
so much
he can do for you.
Correct. And I guess my point is, and just to throw out another situation like this, what do you believe the compensatory pick that Mitchell Schwartz will bring us would be, a fourth?
He was actually ended up being less money than, I believe, you had Mac was the most expensive.
It was over 50.
Gip,
Schwartz was a little over.
Gip, Schwartz, and Benjamin were all in that same, like, around 7 range.
Right.
So those guys,
and Mitchell,
I think you'll
was 6.75.
I think you'll end up getting, probably if Mac doesn't bring you a third, maybe two fourths, two fifths, or a fourth, two fifths, and a sixth,
right,
somewhere in that
range. Okay,
got
it.
Whatever it is, you are, yeah, you're, they're going to get all of them right now. By the way, Ian Rappaport saying, as the Browns now have potential two franchise players, it's worth noting they have begun contract talks with Terrell Pryor. It's early, but that they do want to get him done. And you bring in Jamie Collins, a guy who can cover, he can rush pass, he can do it all. He's considered one of the best cover linebackers in the league, and covering tight ends has been something that's been a problem. But if you have him and Kirksey out there together now, you have two pretty good coverage guys that hopefully should be able to match up.
Yeah,
with
the one thing that I will say, and it hurt us yesterday, and I think that I'm not saying it's the reason why, as you said, this could have been happening for a long time. But if you noticed yesterday on multiple occasions, and even on the Bilal Powell, you know, touchdown, when we brought our sub package in, the Jets found a weakness in our defense that we get very defensive back heavy, which is what happens when you get to sub, expecting pass. But you also are very susceptible to the run. And I mean, on multiple occasions on third and five and plus, even the Bilal Powell's touchdown came on third and 10.
Yeah, and we had Tracy Howard.
Tracy Howard playing him man to man. Correct. And that's, and again, how can someone do that? You might be thinking. And there are times where you reluctantly get by with it against other teams, and you feel like, let's go to the well one more time against the Jets, because we've survived maybe the, you know, the half dozen other times that I've called it in a multitude of games. But the one thing that I always do when, and of course I'm doing it right now, is, you know, the Westlake Demons won their game, go to 7-3. We're going to have a playoff game on Friday, which is awesome. But as I construct my game plans from scratch, as I dive into each and every opponent, the first thing that I have, that when I construct it, is I can't give up the big play, or I can't go to the well and take for granted that, you know, my one player, they're not going to do what I think they're going to do this time. Meaning they're going to run the trick play or the fake on a special team. It's like, no, that's the first thing I do, is align for success to take away the fake and yet still create opportunities for me to build the end result, which is, you know, blocking things up perfectly for a kickoff return or a punt return. But it's take away fake first and then make it advantageous for us to have success returning the punt, because securing the change of possession is the most important.
Absolutely.
So when you go to when you get defensively, getting off the field on third and 10 is the most important thing. And you have to go, well, they're not going to run it. I could have Tracy Howard cover him up, because he has in the past. And so you go to the well one more time and they run it. And you when on DB, you just got to get a little chip on a DB. Or I'm sure Todd Bowles would take Bilal Powell or Matt Forte in space against Tracy Howard having to get 10 yards.
Of course.
That's the one situation of, you know, it was probably just a bad call or bad matchup. But even furthermore, now you get in the situation, to my point, do you keep Tracy Howard in the middle of the field or back in a half, you know, in some two-man situation? You bring in, you got Jamie Collins and Christian Kirksey who can cover in your sub packages.
Right,
so you're stout against the, you're stout. So you can play a six-man box and be stout against the run. They can get off a block and make a play to get off the field or force a field goal in a third and five-plus situation, and or cover a Jordan Reed, a Gronkowski, or whatever, and run with and be right there to make a play on the football.
Well, because it gives you the flexibility. Right now, if you want to be more set against the run, you have DeMario in there, and DeMario struggled in coverage this year, to be perfectly honest about it. And now you have Jamie Collins, who can do both for you and is considered one of the better young linebackers in the NFL. So this is obviously a good move there. Let's go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Turk in Houston. Turk, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my this isn't a popular take, and I've gotten a lot of flack for it recently, but I can't envision a scenario where it makes sense for this team to try to win a football game until all of the other teams in the NFL that have only one win another game. This feels like a preseason, an entire season of evaluating talent and then stepping on the brakes in the late third, fourth quarter of games, because there's no benefit to us winning a game right now. And I can't. If Hugh Jack is in on the dupe, then all it takes is some vanilla play calling and some, you know, really poor defensive scheming on purpose to try to not win. And I mean, talk to me. Tell me I'm wrong. Why do we want to win a football game right now?
From what you're saying and being objective about it, like in the sense that this season we're not going to the playoffs, right? So let's just get the best pick possible. From that standpoint, I understand what you're saying. But I do think this team needs to taste winning, and they want to get the validation for all the work they're putting in. Hugh Jackson wants to win so bad that it is physically making him at times, I think, ill that they are not able to win. And I think that it is taking a toll on him. It's taking a toll on this team.
Taking a toll on the staff.
He is not – he would not be okay with that.
Correct.
Given his competitive nature. So there isn't any of that that's happening. However, this team wants to win, needs to win. It's not winning. And I do think that on one side you can sit off and say, you know, in theory it's best right now. Just secure yourself. If Myles Garrett is a generational player and is that much better than everybody else in this draft, quarterback included, then you take him. Now, if a quarterback rises to that point, obviously this team, you need a quarterback. But, you know, if you just think about it in your head right now with what the Browns have at the skill positions on offense – what they, all the stuff that's happened on their offensive line, had this defense this year played to a 16th best, if this defense was matching this offense's output, the Browns are probably 4-4 right now. So there is some, certainly you can go.
Well, and even further, and even furthermore to his point, and again, I understand objectively where he's coming from as well. It makes a lot of sense. But to think that Hugh Jackson can ultimately, and these players can control when they want to win a football game and when they don't. Like, we're going to wait and lose and watch everyone else win their second game so that we can go out and put forth our best effort and get that one. That doesn't happen.
No.
That might happen with the 76ers in basketball.
It's too dangerous of a sport.
It's too dangerous of a sport, and I think you can – the future players of this locker room, if they caught wind of that – Hugh Jackson would lose this locker room and never be able to regain it.
Right.
And he's the future.
Right. And that is not happening. Let's go to Carl in Charlotte now. Carl, welcome to the Get Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. Carl.
Hey, listen, to the other guy's point, tanking the season doesn't always make sure you're going to get the best players. And when you lose all the time, it's a mentality that you build, and winning builds a better atmosphere. So – yep. I don't agree with that. I think a lot of good teams have made drafts and, you know, had good records and still picked up good guys and continue to have good teams. So I don't think tanking the season is a good idea. The other thing is about Sunday's game. I don't understand some of the things. I know a lot of people have talked about it. Time management doesn't look good. Players don't look under that it's urgent for them to get plays when there's 4 minutes left. Nobody's doing anything about it. Other thing is, I know Hugh Jackson loves to run shifts and all things like that, but why did he bring Hogan in and throw a lateral pass that didn't go anywhere, then take him out and later on bring him in again and throw another lateral pass? What is that?
Well, here's the reason why, and answer your question, and thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. The mentality behind Kevin Hogan coming in the game and doing what you do is they – Cincinnati Bengals were not able to defend the zone read with their because their box was too light, meaning with their six-man box, Kevin Hogan ran for 100 yards. So they expected when they tried to trick Kevin Hogan into the game that teams would expect the zone read again and would stack the box. And what you do then is you get whatever player you're throwing the football to, Andrew Hawkins, Duke Johnson, in space
one-on-one
with a blocker in front of him with that now pass in a one-on-one situation. And it is, in some cases, an extension of the run.
Yep.
And I know the one that went out of bounds, it looked like it slipped out of Josh McCown's hand for him to overthrow Andrew Hawkins by 5 feet. Now, I know he's not the tallest gentleman in the world, but for him to overthrow him that bad, I think he rushed it and didn't get a full grip on the ball. But it being such a short pass that he's just like, I gotta continue with this and get it out there as fast as possible.
Yeah, and I think that the ball did get slick. You saw some of that as well. You saw that in the game, a couple mishandled snaps, a couple errant throws on both sides of the ball where the ball clearly just kind of slipped out of somebody's hand. It's one of those situations, you know, I think Josh McCown at this point in his career has been beaten up, and you've seen it now in two games. I think that you've seen him come out and play great, and then he starts to take some hits, and as he absorbs hits in the second half, it just the play level of play isn't there. He missed some throws. Now, there were some drops. Terrell Pryor dropped one on a third down that would have been a big catch on the sideline. That
Terrell dropped a couple.
Should have been a
routine catch.
Didn't
Hawk have a couple drops, too?
Yes.
Ricardo Lewis had a drop.
Yes.
There were plenty out there.
There were plenty of plays to be made, but, you know, it was They've got to find a way to put it together for 60 minutes. They have not done that yet. Cam from Canada on the phone. Cam.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're all weathering the storm, right?
Yes, we are. We are trying.
It's a tough grind. It's a tough shine here this year. But, you know, something positive today. I think that's a model. I know, Nathan, we've talked a fair amount over Twitter, and that's a model that I believed. I believe that 26-year-old player back in the offseason, I used the number of actually 26, that I thought we should trade some middle-round picks for. And I think we've been a little bit draft. We've had draft fever too much here. So getting some bodies in here that can play the game that are, you know, this guy obviously would have been 26 back in and around there. So he might be a little bit higher than I wanted in age, but, you know, 26, 27 is fine. My view is if you're not going to be here in 3 years or 2 years even, there's no reason to be here now. As far as McCowan goes, that's what he does. I mean, it's a processing issue. I'll call it out. I mean, I know he's the golden boy. And I'm not saying with you guys, but he's the guy. The media loves him. Fans love him. But this is what he does. Like, it's no offense to him, but he doesn't process well in duress. And, I mean, it's multiple games. It's got to be 5 or 6 games that we've ended with a pick or we've ended with, you know, situations that just are inexplicable where he's up on the podium doing the old, I got to be better there. I don't need a 38-year-old quarterback explaining that he needs to be better. So we haven't slotted effectively. It's unfortunate we're at our second or third quarterback here on the depth chart, but we haven't slotted effectively. To me, playing him right now makes no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense that he's on our roster in a rebuild. So, you know, as far as Davis goes, you know, Collins can step in. Davis, now we got 1.5 for two, you know, 1.5 players for a third rounder because we got Davis for nothing. And we got, you know, Collins now for a third. So those guys can platoon a little bit. But we're in trouble right now. If we don't start playing some of these younger guys more and more, we have to send the message to the fans that this is about a rebuild. It has to go back and get back on the rails. That's my view on it.
So. Thanks, Cam. And I'll just be very honest. Are you still there, Cam? Okay. I'll throw this back to you. How many more young players can we play?
None.
I mean, I think Cam specifically, and I know you've voiced this before, you know, with him on Twitter and his other takes before, is, you know, raving about Cody Kessler and development of Cody Kessler, and I get it. Cody Kessler wasn't available for this football game, and I don't believe that if you start Kevin Hogan, your fan base, you and I and the Dog Pound believe at that point Hugh Jackson wants to go out and win this Jets football game, and that's why Josh McCown played. Now, as I said in the Browns radio network, if Josh McCown goes out and wins that game yesterday and plays well, doesn't throw those late picks the way he did, you're going to be hard pressed by the media, by the other coaches, by management to then pull Josh McCown out, even though Josh would say, okay, coach, whatever you want to do, I get it, because that's who Josh is, to play Cody Kessler, who comes out of concussion protocol.
Right.
Every other, Bill Belichick wouldn't do it. So why do we expect Hugh Jackson, because we're in a rebuild, to do it, to play Cody Kessler at all costs? Because last time I looked, we are starting probably more rookies than anybody in the National Football League.
Oh, yeah, and you have the youngest roster in the league.
And the youngest roster in the National Football League. So what else do you want to do other than to tout out, you know, every single draft pick that we have and throw them out there to the Wolves?
Well, right, and Kevin Hogan, I don't believe, was ready to play. By the way, the Browns have just made it official, so the trade is official. The Browns have acquired Jamie Collins. We've been talking about it all show. We knew it was coming. When we come back, we will be talking with Scott. No? He's out? Okay. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 on CBD.
There ain't no secrets anymore.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
On the hook outside your door, just an old
Dog Pound. You never know where we're going to be, but you don't want to miss it. That's the only show that takes you on the field before kickoff. News 5's Browns Countdown every Sunday morning. News 5.
There it is.
Every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Jordan Hanford, Dixon, the top dog, Andy Baskin, Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zger at home on the road. Get an exclusive look inside the building as the team preps for the matchup ahead and get the most up-to-date reports and analysis that only
News 5.
News 5 can provide. Nathan Zger, Matt Wilhelm here. Coming up, Albert Breer at the top of the hour. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We've got Mike in Youngstown. Mike, welcome.
Gentlemen, long time. Great show as usual.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to say something, and I'm so sick to death of just these people, like even at the game yesterday, me and my wife were there, and behind us, this guy's going on about McCown's record. It was on the first interception. The second interception, I don't know what you're supposed to do. When you throw a ball and it hits somebody in the hands or the chest and it bounces
that's not on him.
10 yards and somebody intercepts it. And the other thing is, if where we were sitting, I like to look at the field. If I see him drop back, I want to try to pick up the whole field. Maybe you guys saw this, and I love Terrell Pryor. I hope we sign to a long-term deal. But yesterday, it just seemed like on that play that he got to and tipped, I believe, that was intercepted on the 40, and one that he was going the opposite way. It kind of seemed like he slowed down, and then he just took off. I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but, you know, we got to quit beating up McCown. Not you guys, but, you know, on a really big show, and what's his record? You know, sometimes when you're not with a real good team, you know, sometimes it's hard to perform at your top, you know, the top performance that you could get. But I wish the people would stay off of him, because I'm quite sure that if we put him up right now, there will be a lot of teams that would grab him
sure.
as a backup.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. And when let's dive into our quarterbacks, okay? Has Cody Kessler won a football game? No. What's Robert Griffin III's career record? And what was he doing last year at this time?
Okay.
He was not active, and he was playing scout team safety for the Washington Redskins, right? Charlie Whitehurst, what's his career starting record, right? Josh knows his career winning percentage, I'm sure.
Yep.
Okay. We're talking about Josh McCown, the person that he is to this franchise, even though I know he is paid to play the quarterback position for this franchise. And at times, in the Baltimore game, in the first half yesterday, he puts us in a situation to win football games. He, and if you listen to his press conference yesterday, are we going to hear that later in the show?
Yes.
We're going to hear that later in the show. Josh McCown put that basically the entire loss on himself yesterday for making just bad judgment decisions with the football, and they'd ask him a question about a scenario where he could easily put the blame on someone else, but he put it on himself. Okay, so Josh knows that.
Yep.
And if there were a guy that we invested in significantly as a high draft pick, like a Jared Goff, sitting behind Josh McCown, I understand why you play that guy one wholeheartedly. And had Cody Kessler not fallen out of this lineup,
he would have started yesterday.
Cody Kessler would have never come off the field had he not got hurt against the Patriots, and had he not got hurt last week against the Bengals either. Okay,
yeah.
That's the mentality. So what do you? I guess in some cases to those people, what do you want us to do? Who else do you want us to play? And even furthermore, you talked about Terrell Pryor. I noticed it at times as well with him not giving the effort that he does early in the football games or when he's maybe directly targeted on a certain play. And I'm not creating an excuse. All I'm talking is football, about what happens in a football game. Darrell Revis was pressing or playing, you know, some type of press zone, press man on Terrell Pryor pretty much the whole day until later in the football game when they got into a little bit more of their softer sub type of coverages because they knew they could give up some of the yards. It takes a lot of work just to get off the press of a guy like Darrell Revis and get down into your route. So maybe at times, and I'm not saying he took plays off, you might feel a little defeated when you're down in the football game double digits. Your targets have been cut in half. You're not getting the football as you did in the first half. And yet you got to jog back out there, go hurry up tempo. You're winded. You're sore. Maybe your hamstring's bothering you a little bit. And you got Darrell Revis walk up across from you, making you work to get off the football into your route when you may not get the football on that play. That's what goes through your head.
Well, and I think on that particular play, he saw a safety right there and knew he was double covered and that the chances are the ball wasn't going to come. And
correct.
Kind of slowed down, but then all of a sudden the ball did come. Just real quickly, looking at these quarterbacks, completion percentage. Here are the Browns quarterbacks, 54.9, 46.2, 53.8, 58.3, 55.6, 66.9. One is not like the other. 66.9, that belongs, by the way, to Cody Kessler. Quarterback rating, 74, 55, 31, 78, 67, and 94. One of those not like the other. Again, the 94 belongs to Cody Kessler. This is a situation where Cody's playing the best of your quarterbacks, and he's the right guy to be playing given his youth. He is a guy that I expect to start when healthy for the rest of this season. All right, we got a break now. Albert Breer, who covered the Patriots for over a decade, will join us on the hotline to give his take on what happened today with, in terms of not only the Jamie Collins trade from the Brown side, the Patriots side, and what it means going forward. We'll have that right after this.